Morning, I'm Kevin, and I'm so glad to be here. I really appreciated that introduction. Some things seem like they don't fit, like this idea that we come here to worship and we bring all of the junk that we have in our lives to that worship. But that is the way it is. That's how God wants to meet us. That's where the gospel meets us, is bring that stuff. We don't leave it at the door. So I encourage you today to bring that stuff that maybe doesn't seem to fit and bring it to the message and bring it to the worship, and I think God will meet you there. You know, I've been thinking a bit about opposites and things that don't seem to fit together. The first thing that came to mind this morning was spring and snow. They don't work. Some things just fit together and some don't. I have a friend who drinks vinegar. That doesn't seem to fit together. He may be here right now. I'm not going to look in his direction. Some things don't fit together. The Canucks and the Stanley Cup don't fit together. Although Boston Bruins and winning don't fit together either after last night, right? Who saw that game? That was good. I've got some hope. Maybe this will change. You know, I'd ask you to reflect on something this morning. I wonder if you could just, in your seats, quietly reflect on the word love, all that it means to you, maybe all the experiences that you've had with love. Just quietly reflect on that word. Probably an easy one to sit with. Now I'm going to put another word beside that and ask you to reflect on this word. The word is enemy. Reflect on that. Reflect on your experience. Reflect on people that you've encountered. Reflect on the word enemy. Those words don't seem to fit very well together. Love and enemy. Yet here we are today reflecting on these words of Jesus. Love your enemies. I've actually had a really difficult time thinking about this. This is a really tough thing. Love your enemies. These things don't seem to fit together. How do we do that? It's been actually a bit of a splinter in my mind, and I just couldn't get it out of my mind. It's been bothersome, this idea of loving enemies. I don't really want to do it. I'm actually fairly comfortable with my enemies being over there in a place where I don't have to love them. Yet, Jesus says, love your enemies. I don't like it. It doesn't fit. It doesn't work together. You know, I think Jesus' audience, when he first said these words, they probably had a similar reaction, that they didn't like these things being put together. Love your enemies. They were surprised too, because they were following Jesus around, and they were having a great time. I mean, he was feeding them fish and loaves. They got lots of food. They were fed. There were miracles. People were being healed. And they were just feeling really good about things. He taught them the Beatitudes, which are all about blessings. You're blessed if you're poor. You're blessed if you're hungry. You're blessed if you mourn. You're blessed if you're hated. And then he says this in Luke chapter 6, verses 27 to 31. You can follow along on the screen if you want. But to you who are willing to listen, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who hurt you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, offer the other cheek also. If someone demands your coat, offer your shirt also. Give to anyone who asks. And when things are taken away from you, don't try to get them back. Do to others as you would like them to do to you. Let that hit you. Let it sit with you. Let it disturb you, because it's not an easy thing. I know that we maybe want to write that off and justify it and say there's maybe some reason he said that that's in the Greek. But we're going to deal with the surface on this today. Let it sit with you. You know, I was reading the news the other day and I saw this article that I really liked. It was about a guy named Trevor. Trevor lives in Wales and Trevor is 77 years old. Trevor was getting some money from the ATM, and this guy came and tried to rob him, and Trevor started, 77 years old, put up his hands and started boxing the guy. And I love that story. I love that story. I love stories where people pummel their enemies. I'm totally into that. And I'm looking for a way to write this off. I'm looking for a way to think about this differently. I mean, there's all sorts of questions around this text that I'm not sure how to deal with. What about North Korea? Are they our enemies? What does it mean to love them? What about Iran? What about my neighbor who lets his dog poop all over the place? How do I love that man? I'll tell you the truth, I really like to do something called Krav Maga. Krav Maga is Israeli self-defense. You see the problem? Think, what do I do with this? Israeli self-defense. It's not exactly gentle. This is hard. Love your enemies. But I think the big question to ask is this: who are our enemies? And who are we called to love? You know, I think historically this command has not been taken seriously by the Christian church. I do not think it's been taken seriously. I think it's been brushed aside. I don't think we've struggled with it. And I don't have to look far in history to tell you why I think this. I mean, just think about this: Catholics versus Protestants. We know what happens with that, don't we? Think of the Crusades. There's all sorts of things we've done. Think of hymns that we've sung. You guys know this one? Our team hasn't sung it, but Praise the Lord, Past the Ammo. You know that song? I don't know what Jesus would think about this after saying, love your enemies, praise the Lord, past the ammo. I don't know if we take this seriously. We go into encounters with enemies, and to be humane, we say, you must shoot them with full metal jacket bullets. That's what we do. We always seem to justify this. Love your enemies. Let that sit with you and let it confront you and let it bother you. You know, I think loving your enemies is at the heart of the Christian message, as disappointing as that might be to you. But I think love changes everything. You know, the Jews at this time would not have liked this message. They may have been more uncomfortable with this than we are. I mean, it would have been confusing to hear this message from Jesus after all the stuff that's been going on. This sermon was preached near Lake Tiberias in Galilee. And Galilee was the place where there were all sorts of uprisings against the Romans. The Jewish historian Josephus talks about this one uprising that was violently put down by the Romans, and there were 2,000 crucifixions in this one uprising. The Jews knew about enemies. They knew about enemies and they knew about hate. The Jews were brutally treated by the Romans. And this was personal for them, because those people that were crucified, they would have saw them hanging there. They would have known them. They could have been parents. They could have been siblings. They could have been friends. It was personal. Love your enemies? The Romans? Are you kidding me? How can we love them? And Jesus says, well, you pray for them. The occupiers, the oppressors, if they ask for your coat, you give them your shirt too when they've already taken your land. These words don't seem to belong together. Love your enemies. And I wonder if the people thought Jesus was maybe being a little bit idealistic, a little sentimental, maybe even a little bit treasonous. Maybe they thought he was working with the Romans. There's this golden rule that you know about and the Jewish people knew about in Leviticus 18. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against a fellow Israelite, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. That's the one they were familiar with. Love your neighbor as yourself. I kind of like that one better. Because my neighbors are good. I can love my neighbors. Except for that dog guy. I'm working on that. Love your neighbors. The Israelites knew about this. And then Jesus takes this, what they're familiar with, and says, love your enemies. He escalates this. If you're an Israelite, you know about the history, right? We all know about the Canaanites. The Israelites went into the land and were told to exterminate all the Canaanites. This is what happened in the Old Testament. The Egyptians were the enemies. This is comfortable territory. But now Jesus says, love your enemies. You know, hate is this thing that gets inside and can eat us up. I think it's interesting the word enemy, how it's related to this idea of enmity, this emotion that we feel towards people that turns into hatred and just eats us up. Enmity consumes us. And we know that enemies are people who pursue us. They want to oppose us. They don't have the best in mind for us. They want to hurt us. You know, we can relate to the Psalms, right? Psalm 52. The psalmist talks about all these enemies closing in and just what it feels like. And I know some of us here today probably have had deeper experience with enemies than others have. Hate is the opposite of love. You know, I think we can bring this closer to home. I think it's really easy to keep it out there and think about Nazis and people like that. But all of us probably have people that we feel enmity towards. People that we don't want to see good things happen to them. People that we want to see bad things happen to. You know, hatred is this emotion that just consumes. It'll eat you alive and come out in ways that surprise you and maybe surprise people that you're with. Hatred can define you as a person. It can twist you until you're not recognizable. That's what hatred does. It leads to anger and contempt. And the thing is, when we're hateful, when we have enemies, when we have enmity towards others, it hurts us and the oppressor. It hurts both people. We hear a lot about hate crimes nowadays. Things that are done because we reject a people group or we lash out against someone's gender identity or other things. But according to Jesus, all hate is a crime. There's no hate that isn't a crime. Hate consumes us from the inside and it works its way out. You know, and I think we think this, that it just hurts the other person, but it has consequences for us. It changes us, it hurts us, it destroys us, and it'll erase your identity and it'll change you. One of the best examples I can think of is this guy. He's not a biblical character, but almost Gollum, right? This guy that was just consumed by this ring, and anything that got in the way, he just hated. We all know what happened to Gollum. He was changed until he was unrecognizable. Okay, maybe a bit closer to home in the Bible, there's this guy, Saul. We know about Saul. King Saul started as a good king. And he got consumed by fear and hatred and enmity, and he changed into an evil king. That's what it does. It changes us. I think hate and having enemies in our mind also erodes our own self-respect. It leads us down roads that helps us to disrespect others, and in doing so, we disrespect ourselves. It harms instead of heals. And then we can't see people for who they are. We just see objects. We see enemies. And we build these walls of protections around ourselves. And soon we can't even engage in proper relationships. That's what happens if we don't love our enemies. We have enmity and hate, and it consumes. But love is the opposite. Where hate destroys, love creates. Where hate harms, love heals. Where hate builds walls, love tears walls down. Where hate sees the worst, love sees the best. There's different words for love in the Bible. We only have really one word for love. I think it's called love. But the words in the Bible, there's phileo, which is friendship, love. There's stergo, which is like a family affection. And there's everybody's favorite, eros, which I probably don't need. It's not your favorite? Okay, sorry. Some people's favorite, eros. It's time to stop, Kevin. And then there's agape, which is the one we're dealing with now. Agape is the highest love. It's the love of sacrifice. It's the love of action. It's the noblest love. It's the highest calling. You know, we see in John 6:32, right after this, this example of agape love. John 6:32 says this. Should be on there, Steve. It's not on there? Well, I have it here in my Bible. If you love only those who love you, why should you get credit for that? Even sinners love those who love them. That's agape. Agape is reaching out and doing things for people. John 10:27 says this. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Agape. Love of action. Reaching out. And then there's John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish. Well, that one's on there. But have everlasting life. It's agape, again. Agape is this love of reaching out with action. And I think what this teaches us, as this last sermon in our Epiphany series reveals about God, is just this is what God is like. God loved his enemies. God is a God who loves his enemies. Now, the cross teaches us that. Jesus went to the cross for his enemies. This is what God is like. You know, the kingdom of God, Jesus proclaimed this all through his ministry. He said, the kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God has come. The kingdom of God is a kingdom that doesn't have hate in it. One of the things we're called to as God's people right now, what God called his disciples to, is to be a people who represent that kingdom in the present. We're called to that. We're not off the hook. This kingdom has no enmity, no hate. Who is your enemy?
Who's our enemy? Who's our Romans?
You know, we all have enemies, and I think if we make this term too grand, we'll miss it.
We need to face it. We all have enemies, each one of us.
They're the ones who stand in our way. They're the ones who oppose us. They're the ones who, when we go to sleep at night, we think of and we can't get it out of our mind because we're stressed. You know what I'm talking about? Those are enemies. And they're everywhere. They cause us stress. They're the people that when we walk down the hall, we maybe turn quietly the other way, hoping no one notices. If we see them in a store, we go down the other aisle. Those are enemies.
We all have enemies. And to miss that is missing what Jesus is saying here. You know, loving changes everything.
Because when we love, we're confronted by this fact that we have enemies and that we need to face that issue in ourselves and heal.
It may be a person that you don't know.
Now, I know this guy, we had this study. It was someone confessed that they hated him in the study. Just want to make a confession. I hate you. Probably not the best thing to do.
He didn't know this.
And I would advise that we just don't do that, okay? If you have a confession to make that someone does, that we don't work out our issues on other people with them there. That was her issue. Hate eats us up. Consumes us. You know, we can move past this by admitting that we have enemies and identifying who they are. And forgiveness is the thing that needs to happen. It's the starting point for love. God intervenes when we ask for his help. For some of us, I think this idea of having an enemy is way more personal than some of us. I mean, the challenge for me is I really had to think about who my enemies were, because everybody likes me. Well, I don't know about that, but no one's told me they hate me recently. Although I do remember when I started my ministry, we were doing this study at the church, and I had instructed people in the group that we were going to end, and this guy started this big line of questioning, and I said, no, we can't do this. And at the end of the study, he came up to me and put his face right against mine and said, you disrespected me today. And I didn't really know what to do, but I thought, it's on, right? I'm not backing down. It didn't end well. There was no violence there, but I was in a mindset where I was ready for that, if you can believe that or not. And I think the gospel says to this, that you need to see people for who they are, not through your issues. You need to appreciate what they're going through. And if I could do that again, I would have listened to this person to understand why he was so angry. You know, we've all been hurt. Some of us are maybe walking wounded. Things that hurt me are things that make me feel small and powerless. And I'm surprised sometimes because I find myself awake at night thinking about these things that I didn't think really bothered me. You know, I want to put these words together again. Love and enemies. Because the truth is, these words actually belong together. That's what Jesus is saying. Love and enemies belong together because our mandate as his people is to love our enemies and see them as people. Love changes everything. We are to love our enemies